You're listening to the podcast of East River Park Christian Church. If you'd like to find out more information about the church or donate to this ministry, please visit us at eastriverpark.church. We pray that this is an encouragement to you as you grow in Christ through the local church.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Behind the Message with Jason
and Chris
and Jason.
Check. Oh boy, that was probably loud. Alright, well, tis the season for Easter. It's, as they call it, the church's Super Bowl. Let me just preface to say, what triggered this question is my entire social media feed is like a nerdy looking celebrity, like half celebrity preacher with makeup on, and his wife standing next to him, and they're like, just, hey, we would like to quarterly invite you to our Easter service. And I'm like, just get off my newsfeed. No one cares. I mean, who paid for this ad? So again, I'm not saying you can't make those videos, just don't show me those videos. So Easter is upon us, and it's a big deal. So the question to kick us off is, should Easter be an outreach opportunity for the church? Because that's what everyone is doing right now. Invite people to church. It's Easter. What do you think? Chris? You got an answer?
I said maybe.
Okay. Go for it.
It depends on what you're thinking. When you added this question, it was very vague. I didn't have a clue what you were talking about.
Yeah, I
guess you did have a particular example in mind, but we don't know what that is.
Oh man!
I mean, don't go like, jeez, I'm not. Guys, like, no,
y'all are full curmudgeon. We haven't even fully.
It's just very vague.
Yeah,
very vague. But no, like I would say it would be all right. I'm not advocating for Easter bunnies or egg hunts or anything of that nature.
We can't do an egg hunt? I mean, we're not doing one, but we couldn't.
Right. Easter, no. I would say no.
Okay. All right. Y'all are grouchy this afternoon. What do you mean? You were like, well, you probably had something in mind with this question,
yeah,
but we
yeah,
have
something
we
in
have,
mind that you did not share with
we,
us.
No one knows what you're talking about. Yeah. All right, Baker, go ahead.
I'm just going to add on to what Chris said here. We should do our Good Friday service and our Sunday Easter services. I think as far as promoting it, we should be inviting people to church every Sunday, so sure. There shouldn't be any difference there. What's Easter Sunday about? Risen Christ, the gospel. Just preach the gospel like you do every Sunday.
Yeah,
welcome anyone that comes into our church, just as we should always be doing. And like I said, yeah, we should always be inviting people to church. Easter shouldn't be a special occasion for that. But kind of what Chris was saying, if you're talking about outreach being an Easter egg hunt, taking pictures with the Easter bunny or other commercialized stuff, then no. Like I said, Easter is about Christ's risen body. He was alive, which is the fulfillment of the gospel. So just stick to what we do every Sunday.
Well, now that y'all say that, I'm going to have to disappoint staff tonight at our meeting. So we're cancel the Easter bunny. No Easter bunny. Cancel it. Cancel our egg hunt we got scheduled, which we don't. But no, that's where I was headed. I don't think Easter should be a time for us to put together an outreach service. We never do that on a Sunday. We don't view Sunday as an outreach service. Sunday is purposed for the saints to come together to study the word, lift each other up, lift up the name of Jesus. So what could Good Friday or specifically Easter Sunday be? What difference could there be? For me, I think it's a special time with family. Your biological family, your church family. So we add elements to that. We'll add We do have food. We'll have light food in between services. We usually have a photo booth if we have one. There is no Easter Bunny coming. But just a chance to be like, hey, y'all usually wearing something a little bit nicer for Easter. Go take a picture. I don't think that's to attract people, but because it's, we just do it because it's healthy to do nice things for the family. I think you mentioned it's a healthy reminder. Easter Sunday is a healthy reminder that we should be inviting people every Sunday, all the time, to meet Jesus in his word. And then again, it is an opportunity to highlight the gospel for everyone, like we try to do every week. But really, my heart, that purpose is like, we're not going to do something so out of the ordinary to attract people and then expect them to come back the next week and do, well, all right, we're just doing the same old stuff that we do now. You know, it's like, I know it's cliche, but what you win them with is what you will keep them with. I took that same strategy with student ministry. Everyone's like, youth group's gotta be fun. I'm like, I don't care about youth group being fun. I truly don't. Teenagers, fun is a good element for youth group. So it helps build relationships. They're teenagers. It helps burn off energy. These are all good elements to have in youth ministry. But if the goal is to get students here because it's fun, well, then I got to keep making it fun rather than actually discipling them with the word. And that was really difficult to do. So we're not going to do the same thing with an Easter service. But all right, with all that being said, you're invited to the Good Friday. All right, I don't want to be too cynical. 1 John 2:18-27, all about the Antichrist. It was real fun. So how can I avoid being deceived? Chris,
yep.
What's this last hour that is being talked about?
Well, the last hour began with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it actually refers to the time between the resurrection and his second coming, which could occur at any time.
That's good. I'll take it.
So, Jason Payne, who is the Antichrist?
The Antichrist. It's either Putin. someone told me Obama, Trump, Joe Biden. You know, it's funny, at the end of the message, I was like, some of y'all might like that East River Park militia. And there was quite a few chuckles. And then I was like, some of y'all might like pointing out a political candidate or something. And there was, people didn't think that was as funny. Because we do that all the time. I mean, we bring that up because the Antichrist, to this point, no one has fulfilled that role that we see in Scripture. But all throughout history, we try to pinpoint a celebrity or politician that is like, they're the Antichrist. They're not. But to answer the question in a generic way, the Antichrist is a man. So we can figure that one out. He is the man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, and the beast of Revelation. And he's not only opposed to Christ, but what you'll see is he sets himself up in place of Christ, which I'll talk about maybe here in a minute, piggyback off of one of your all's questions. But what does Antichrist even mean, Baker?
The Greek word is antichristos. It means to either one who puts himself in the place of Christ or the enemy or opponent of the Christ.
Yeah. So, clear things to be looking for, but when will the Antichrist come, Chris? Since we're in the last hour, he's got to be. He could be here right now. We don't know.
The Spirit, you said this, this is probably a direct quote from your sermon. The Spirit of the Antichrist is already here and working in the world. Many Antichrists have already come. And I have 1 John 4:3 that says, "And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God, This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. And then also have 2 John chapter 1, verse 7, which says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist.
So when's he coming?
He's already here.
You think he's already here?
The spirit is.
Okay, but when's the man going to be here?
Well, I don't know.
Well, I was going to mention one. Well, I will say one, that this there is that belief that you need the third temple to be built so the Antichrist can sit on that throne. Mm-hmm. So as of right now, that's not been, if that's what you believe, then as of right now, that's not. Yeah, that's why people want that built so Jesus can come back.
So you didn't put the big
the. Oh, I didn't beat the.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, your answer's not going to change. We still don't know. So. All right, number that's one. How can we avoid being deceived? Watch out for the person that has abandoned the faith. How is apostasy described in verse 19?
Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So they were intermingling with the believers, but they were not of them. And they did not continue, or a big word would be persevere, with the true believers, because they were not really part of the church. Let's see, I pulled a quote from something I was looking at last night. Basically, they were never part, they distinguished between the invisible church and the visible church. Mm. You know, the invisible church being the true believers, the universal church sometimes, that they were never part of the invisible church, but they were just participating with the local or visible church.
Yeah, that's good.
So
that's good. So they lost their salvation, right?
No.
Okay. we're not gonna go there. All right, we'll go on.
All right, Jason Payne, how should we treat someone that has committed apostasy?
All right, well, one, we shouldn't treat them like a believer. Meaning we don't affirm salvation when we talk to them. We don't assume that they believe in the gospel deep, 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 deep down in their heart, just because they made a decision way back then. And we don't assume that they're walking in the Spirit, which is something very difficult for us to do. It's very easy to get frustrated with people. And you're like, why would you... I understand why you might get frustrated with, especially a friend or family member, but they're not walking by the Spirit. What do you think they're going to do? I had that conversation in student ministry with our youth volunteers all the time. They get frustrated with students. I'm like, does anything in their life show that they're trying to even follow Jesus? How do you even know they're a Christian? So don't assume they're walking in the Spirit. And if they... People aren't going to like this one. If they choose to stay in church, which I can't think of anyone that's ever done that, but if they choose to stay in the local church, we would remove their church membership because they're no longer a believer. All that being said, we treat them as someone that is not a part of the family of God, which means we still treat them with love. We treat them with respect. We treat them... as a heart that needs to be made alive with the gospel. So it doesn't mean excommunication. It means to truly love them. Even if they become your enemy, Scripture would just say to love them. So, all right. Well, hopefully that was a decent balance, but... How can I avoid being deceived? Well, watch out for the person that denies that Jesus is the Christ. How is an antichrist like the devil? I read that on Sunday and I was like, ugh, this feels heavier than I remember. But that's what Scripture says. So,
Well, they both stand in opposition to God and Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. They are both deceivers. They spread misleading doctrines that divert people from the true path. They're liars. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more, but...
Because I think that was a distinction in 1 John 2 and in the Gospel of John, that these people are the many antichrists are liars, and their father, the devil, is a liar. So, yeah. All right. It's a great way to get people to your church. I'll save that for Easter. Three. Watch out for the person that teaches another way. Baker, how are many antichrists trying to deceive us today?
I put a quote from Paul Washer. One of the greatest distinguishing marks of false prophets is that he will always tell you what you want to hear. He will never rain on your parade. He will get you clapping. He will get you jumping. He will make you dizzy. He will keep you entertained, and he will present a Christianity to you that will make your church look like a Six Flags over Jesus.
Right.
But, I mean, some of the specific things that you said Sunday, and they all bring question oftentimes to the validity of God's word or parts of it that they don't agree with or is offensive. Identifying Christ as anything other than Lord, you mentioned like social worker, social justice warrior, etc., and a lot of times they make the gospel about us and not Christ. I got a couple of quotes from some, if you'd like to hear.
Yeah, let's hear a few. These are false quotes, right?
These are currently living today preachers.
Okay, give us some.
Following Jesus doesn't change you into something else. It reveals who you've been all along.
Verdict.
Yep.
Go ahead. I nailed it.
He did. In dealing with people for several years, thousands of people, one thing I can tell you is that 99.9% of the people are not bad. They just make poor choices, but deep down they have a good heart. And then
Andy Stanley.
No.
Oh, rats.
Mr. Smiley.
Okay.
Joel. when we obey God, we're not doing it for God. We're doing it for ourselves. Just do good for your own self. Do good because God wants you to be happy.
Is that Joel again?
That's his wife.
Okay. You got more?
No, that was just those three.
That would be... We should do a whole podcast on like...
There's... Yeah. I mean, it's infinite, you know. That's... But yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, millions and millions of people bite right into that.
You know, if I can add something to that, I think when... It's the spirit of the Antichrist that is at work saying these things. I'm not calling these pastors an Antichrist. I don't believe that. It doesn't mean I like them necessarily, but I say that to say to combat that is when you have the spirit of God, when you hear things like that, like it's like a red flag goes off. Even if you can't explain why that's not right. Something inside you is like, that's not right.
I just had someone today come up to me and was asking me about a particular preacher I'd never heard of.
Was it me?
Yeah. that other Jason. But they were like, they said something that he had said, and they were like, that's not right. And I mean, it's exactly what you're saying. I mean, and they asked me if I would look into this preacher as well. But yeah, I mean, they knew there, and you know, just getting another opinion instead of ears on it. But yeah, they're like, that's not right. And so, I mean, that's you know, what we try to do here at church is, you know, if you keep hearing the truth over and over, when you hear something that's false, it's going to raise a flag for you.
Yeah, it's much easier to spot, but yeah, that's good.
Jason Payne, for you, in what ways does an Antichrist model secular humanism?
I probably should preface this because I ended the message quoting the Satanic Temple website, which I told people, like, Corey usually reads my sermons before Sunday. She did not read this one, so just to let people know. And I remember in the first service, Baker mentioned it too, like, in the first service, I read from the Satanic Temple website, and I was like, where do you think that's from? Mm-hmm. And someone said, the Bible. And I was like, well, bad news for you. but it is still true. Like, all of those things are actually in the Bible. But real modern Satanism is just human secularism. It's how do we become our own God. So I'll just read what I have. So I shared on Sunday, like, Christians do a great job of demonizing everything, especially if it's culturally satanic. Even if you go on the Satanic Temple website, they have, like, culturally satanic symbols everywhere. So whether it's Dungeons and Dragons or Harry Potter, there's always been, like, widespread panic that these things are satanic, stealing children and teenagers away from the faith. And I'm not going to get into a debate on whether people should partake in these things, because I promise I don't care. I really don't care. What I'm saying is that there's a real threat much greater than and sneakier than the latest game, book, or movie. That was the point, that the most satanic influence in your life is the process of believing that you can become God. It's not the goblins and spells that trick us, it's the false god of self. So it's really the slow burn of believing we don't need God because we are a little god of our own little universe. That's the spirit of the Antichrist at work. Not demons attaching themselves to your household objects. That's insanity. It's not even biblical. It's the lie that you can become the savior that you've always wanted and needed. And so that was really the clarification that... Now, people can have opinions on media. We've talked about that enough. But that's what I think Christians get so worked up on. And I'm like, what are these things? Aren't, like, I don't know, we don't have wizards walking around casting spells on us. Like, it's like the most satanic thing about being a witch is this idea that you can have power outside of God. That's the most satanic thing. After the first service, Colton came up, we were talking about all of this, and it just triggered my mind. I was like, yeah, like, even the serpent in the garden didn't say, like, worship me or worship Satan, or, hey, here's a copy of the Goblet of Fire. He was just like, you could have, that's not what he really meant. You can be like God. Like, it's the same lie. That's the most satanic thing. So, all right. Well, let's move on. If you don't like Harry Potter, Chris has read all of them. Have you read all of them?
No.
You've not read all of them?
I haven't read any of them.
Oh, I've read all of them.
You're the only one, actually.
I probably am. You've read all the Hunger Games?
No.
You read that last book without reading the other one?
I'm still not finished with it, but yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right.
We saw the movies of the first ones. You don't need any books.
Speaking of corruption, Chris, how can we protect our children from the many antichrist and false prophets?
All right. It requires a combination of vigilance, communication, and education. We need to teach solid biblical foundations. Ensure your children have a strong understanding of the fundamental teachings of Christianity by regularly reading and discussing the Bible with them. Encourage participation in age-appropriate Bible studies, Sunday school, or youth groups that focus on solid biblical teaching. Establish open and honest communication with your children. You need to create an environment where they feel comfortable discussing their beliefs, questions, and concerns with you. Need to equip your children with the ability to recognize false teachings by discussing common misconceptions and distortions of Christian beliefs. You need to monitor media and online activities. Participate in church activities that reinforce sound biblical teachings and provide a supportive environment for spiritual growth. And last but not least, at least on my list, is lead by example.
Take away their phones. Yeah. I mean, your kids have not had, they didn't have social media.
Until they were, Alex, Connor doesn't have it, but Alex didn't get it until she graduated high school.
Yeah. You know how rare that is? I mean, I'm sure you do know how rare it is because Alex told you how rare it was. yeah, and I think all of these things, like parents just need, they're not trying to shelter your kid from every hard thing in this life, but to give them unlimited access to these things is not healthy, I promise. And I was listening to that Sean Ryan podcast, yeah. And that was, I put it on Facebook because it, Sean, I don't know how it came up. He just said it, and I was like, ugh. Like, I think even John Chris was like, I wasn't prepared for you to say that. And he asked him, like, why would you not let your kid be on their phone all day and eat Sour Patch Kids? And he's like, well, when you give a kid a phone, you don't give them access to the world. You give the world access to your kid. And I was like, ugh, that it's how true that one is. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's that constant reminder. I tell my own kids, it's like, I actually do trust you for the most part. Y'all do a bunch of dumb stuff, try to throw baseballs in the front yard at our van. But like in a lot of situations, I trust you to make the right decision. I just don't trust other people. That's what I'm trying to protect you from. So. All right, main point. In this last hour, abide in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to abide in Christ?
To persevere, to maintain a fellowship with Christ, basically being faithful, continuing to place our trust in Him, just living through Christ in our lives.
That's good. I thought it was good that we were talking about that because I thought I was going to talk about it more this coming Sunday, and I probably won't. It'll come up, but so that's good clarification.
Sorry. Jason, what does John mean by being anointed by the Holy One in verse 20?
Verse 20 says, you've been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. This anointing, it's also referenced in verse 27. And I would say some people use that, whether people are aware or not, they use those references as an example of why you really don't need formal Bible training. You really don't need Bible college. You don't need seminary. They've been anointed by the Spirit with all knowledge they need for ministry, which is ironic because if they would have had formal Bible training, they might have realized that they're taking that verse out of context. But and I would say, like, I'm not saying men and women can't be in ministry without college or seminary. They can do and have done phenomenal jobs, huge things for the kingdom. I'm just saying that's not the context of the passage. The focus is on the deception of the spirit of the Antichrist. So the deception that Jesus is not the Christ. So in that context, the anointing that we've been given, this anointing that we have is the ability to hold on to the truth that Jesus is the Christ. It is all knowledge of the one true gospel. Like it's the function of the Holy Spirit, which I do think John is referencing there. This anointing can even be seen in John's gospel. When Jesus says in John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, well, what's he going to do? he will bear witness about me. So it's having all knowledge is not like you magically understand everything in the Bible and are prepared to teach it. It's all knowledge of the gospel, all knowledge that Jesus is the Christ. So, all right, how does abiding in Christ relate to the promise found in verse 25?
Those who abide in the truth, who remain steadfast in their faith in Christ, are assured of the promise of eternal life. I have John 3:36 that says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him.
That's on our new church t-shirts. The wrath of God. We'll leave it on the... It's all the scriptures on the front. So, all right. We're done. This Saturday is the first men's event for the year. Steadfast and faithful. What are y'all looking forward to for this Saturday, the first men's event? Men's event. You looking forward to registering, Chris?
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyone? What are you looking forward to? Archery?
No, I'll probably get shot with an arrow.
Yeah.
I think just, it seems like at least right now, preliminarily, we're going to have a lot of guys, meeting guys that probably haven't been around much in church. And I'm hoping that we'll have some good discussion through our Bible study that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm. Are we good? Chris, you got anything?
I said hanging out with you nerds.
All right.
And I guess the food. Food's always a good motivator.
Yeah. I should have had something more spiritual, but I just had the food. Dwayne, which I'm trying to eat healthy, but I'm not going to on Saturday. So he was smoking pork. I think he was doing coleslaw and those cowboy beans. The cowboy beans are where it's at. So I'm all about it. All right. Let's wrap this up. I got staff meeting tonight. Anyone want to pray? Remember, I prayed in the elders meeting last night.
Did you?
Yeah. I didn't realize we were keeping tabs on that.
Well,
I'll pray. Since I'm not praying on Sunday, I'll pray.
See? Well, that's true.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time that we can gather together and dive deeper into your word. Thank you for your word that we have the ability to study it and to get to know you and to build up these red flags and warnings to so we can know when someone tries to deceive us or lead us astray. Help us to always stand in the light and in your word and to spread your good news that you died for us because we are sinners and we can't save ourselves, that we need you to pay that for us, and that we can know you and have relationships with you and to enjoy eternal life one day and to live with you forever. And we're very thankful for you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.